All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hi. It is time for TMZ.
Hey, it's time, son.
It's time for TMZ.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMZ. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMZ. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, you know we had to do this. Don't forget we get started, guys. Visit, subscribe, and share to our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Guys, I'm completely excited to be here today. As you can see, I got just a little bit of excitement going for me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my special guest. Maybe it's because, wait, if you look behind me, you can see that's Black History Month. That's right. It's Black History Month, and all month long, you should be celebrating Black History Month. It's not just 28 days in a year. It is all year. It is 365. So find a reason to celebrate wherever you are. Guys, listen, this show is being heard all around the world, not just here in the United States, but in places like in Portugal and Spain, and in places like Japan, in places like Trinidad and Tobago, places like Mexico and Canada, all over the world. Let me take this time to tell everybody who's watching this show for the very first time, who's listening for the very first time, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so glad that you're here. And maybe you're saying, Travis, man, listen up. I've been listening to your show ever since you've been streaming, man. You're not new to me. Thank you so much for your continued support. I appreciate everything that you do. Guys, listen, we have a fantastic show today. Before we get started, guys, you know how we like to do this. If you've been listening to the show at any time, you know that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. Listen, so if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you say, Travis, man, I know someone that has an inspiring story that your guests would love to hear from. But I don't want to come on a show, man. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Send us their information at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? You can even remain anonymous if you'd like. So there you go. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and play out information for my affiliate sponsors. Get that out the way. When I do, we're going to come back and bring our special guest. Don't go away. Guys, we're just getting started. If you just arrived, if you just got here, you're in the right place, man. Don't go nowhere. We'll
Walmart
be right back.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is right below in the chat. And if you are listening to this later on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Amazon Music or however you like to listen to our show, listen up, because it will come on later as well so that you can hear it. Guys, I know that you're ready for this show and ready for us to begin. If you did not catch today's topic of what we're talking about, today's topic, guys, is we are the people. Yeah, we are the people. And I know you're probably wondering where Travis is going to go with that. Now, listen, if you are living in America, or if you're familiar with the United States at all, if you know anything about the Constitution, you know, there's a part of the Constitution that begins, the beginning of the Constitution is called the preamble. Those are the words. We are the people, those who live in the United States and even some who are abroad may be familiar with the words, we are the people, as the first words to the preamble of the Constitution of the United States. Now, if you aren't aware of what that is, the Constitution is a set of governing laws that each elected official must abide by, whether it's statewide or whether it's a federal official, they must abide by these laws. Now, it is the framework of how they govern, and it ensures how those who are governed by them, in which their voices get heard. Now, today, guys, we are joined by such an individual. Today, we are joined, guys, by a local official, elected official here in a city called Center Point, Alabama. Now, we will discuss his journey to the mayorship, but also how he ensures the voices of those he serves are heard. Guys, do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome for Mayor Bobby Scott Jr. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing great.
Man, it's so good and exciting to have you here today. How's your day going, Mayor Scott?
So far, so good. So far, so good.
I love it. I love it, man. Mayor Scott and I had a brief conversation during Center Point's Christmas parade, mm-hmm. in which my grandson decided he wanted to ride his motorcycle. Yeah, he did, man. I kid you not. Right now on Facebook somewhere, there is a picture of my grandson trying to do his thing on a motorcycle. That's crazy, Mayor Scott. Absolutely awesome. Wow. thank you for that moment. He still talks about it. I kid you not. He thinks he likes a monster truck. So he thinks he's a monster truck driver and a motorcycle rider. So there you go. At three, there you go. Mayor Scott, absolutely happy to have you here today. Mayor Bobby Scott Jr. I got to ask this question. When I talk to people, were these words something that you ever thought as a child growing up in Hill County, Alabama? Were these words that something you ever thought someone would use to describe you?
No, not at all. I still think sometimes I wake up and I go, what did I do? You know, so, but no, I never, you know, growing up, I grew up on a farm. My dad was a farmer. We had cows, horses, that whole thing. But I had an uncle that was a doctor in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, wow.
So my entire ambitions from a child to high school to my first 2 or 3 years in college was biology. I was going to be a doctor.
I got you, man.
Yeah. And somewhere along that lines, technology started to bloom, you know, computers and software and games. So that took my interest away from the medical side to the technology side. So I switched my major to medical technology and then eventually switched it all the way over to computer science. So I ended up becoming a software engineer for 17 years. So completely different path.
Wow. And think about this. He said, no, man, absolutely not. We was on a farm. We had chickens. We had cows. When you think of a farm, think of me. When you think of a farm, my picture is right there. As far as I know, we had a farm. People before me, they had a farm. People, my family before me had a farm. So it was kind of generational that you had a farm. It didn't just wake up somebody and say, oh, we're going to have a farm today. It was
a
generational thing. And so you really kind of had this ingrained, but you said you had someone in your family that was a doctor.
Right.
So completely opposites. Completely. I mean, the spectrum is like wide from between a doctor and a farmer.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the youngest, he was, you know, one of the youngest out of 12 kids.
Wow.
So while his brothers and sisters were keeping the house, brothers were out in the field. He was the baby, so he was the one that got looked after, and he was the one that everybody looked at and said, you're going to college, you're going to do this, because we out here putting in the labor, the sweat, and the tears. So they made a way for him to become a doctor, and right as he was becoming a doctor, I was born. So
he
was my favorite uncle. I looked up to him. Kids were my age and everything, so all my cousins were right there together. So, it was amazing. That was my ambition.
I can see why that would you, because he was a younger of the 12, and then you the younger being born. I can see why you guys would mesh and why you guys would kind of have that unique bond.
Right.
So, Matt Scott said, no, I did not even think about that, man. Wasn't even on my radar.
I still had to do the chores, so I still had to I had to get up early, and I had, you know, my dad left to do whatever he was doing. I had cows to feed before I got on the school bus.
Oh, you really?
I am a country boy, so you know.
You really were ingrained in that, and you got up had farming chores, feeding cows. You guys had chickens, feeding chickens, and you guys had that was in you. Wow, so that's incredible. That's absolutely good, man. Oh, wow. I don't know what to say behind that one, man, Scott.
I still love it. My dad has 120 acres still in Hale County. Him and my mom taking care of it. My brother, I have an older brother that's 10 years older than me. So he helps out. But my dad, you know, at 76, he might be on a tractor right now if I pick up the phone and call him. So. Yeah, he grew up in it. He went to Cincinnati for the city life for a little bit and realized he didn't like it. Came back home and bought some land.
Bought some land down there farming it. That's the best thing to do. Man, so you gave us kind of a quick snapshot of some things I was going to ask about. So growing up on a farm, your older brothers, your cousins, all these people. So for you know what hard work is about. There's no way in the world. No way in the world you can have to live on a farm and knowing you have to wake up in the morning and early. Most kids get to sleep a little bit later. No, you're waking up, you're feeding cows. We're riding bikes, you're feeding cows, you're feeding chickens. Right. So you had a different coming up as a child. Your background as a child was much different than what a lot of young people are experiencing today. And what a lot of young people come up, even at your time, possibly, Mayor Scott, things were just different in your household. Some people could have been born at the same time you were born, same year you were born, but your location said your life was going to be different. You know, where you were, your environment was different. So what was life for you growing up in this modest, practical, but very flourishing area such as Hale County? And how all those things you had to do growing up, and How do those lessons of life continue with you today?
For me, it was amazing, peaceful. You know, it's one of those small towns where everybody knows everybody. There was one street. We had a little mercantile store that everybody kind of went and shopped to, unless you needed bigger items, and you had to drive like 10 miles to a grocery store. So, you know, my parents were those people in the community that if you needed something, you came to our house. And it was also one of those communities where the doors weren't locked. You can go to my mom's house right now and knock on the back door, and she just yells, "Come on in." So it was an amazing experience. I have two younger sisters, two older brothers. And it was just, you know, one of those family oriented, peaceful types of atmospheres. We didn't have to worry about a whole lot. You know, whatever mom put on the table is what we ate, even though I still don't do beets.
Oh, man, I'm with you on that one. I cannot do beets, Mary.
Yeah, I stayed at that table all night, not eating those. But and then you know, picking vegetables out of the garden, picking peas, corn, squash, helping plant, you know, that whole country life. It just kind of molded me to be who I am. So
I like that. And I'm laughing because I can't tell you, Mayor Scott, how many times I sat at the table all day because I would not eat beets or threatened to be get. I mean, you're going to get a whooping. Hey, you know what? I'm going to have to take that air, baby. Because I'm not eating them beets.
I was willing to take it. So we couldn't do the beets. I have a sister that's 11 months younger than me, and people think we're twins. Actually born in the same year, and we would just sit there together and not eat the beets. And my mom, funny story, about, I don't know, maybe 20 years later, I have kids. My sister has kids. We're all down visiting. And she says, "You know, when y'all was little and y'all wouldn't eat those beets, I tried them and they were disgusting. So I apologize." And I'm thinking this whole time, you weren't eating them either.
You weren't. Wait a minute. You weren't even eating them.
She wasn't eating them. She was making us eat them.
My grandmother, man, she would eat them in spurts.
Really?
And then she finally realized this boy is just not going to eat these beets. Right. So I'm going to stop punishing him because he was willing to take this L. I'm not messing with to this day. Mayor Scott, do not bring me any beets.
We agree.
Oh my gosh. I thought I was the only one who was willing to take an L for them beets. But Scott, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it, Mayor Scott.
And I really didn't even eat vegetables until I got to college, and I was gone. You know, I was away at college for 3 or 4 months, and then you realize how much you miss your mom's cooking. So greens and peas quickly got added back to the menu, but still no beets. But yeah.
I'll add just about any vegetable except that.
I
promise you I will not. See, see, everybody who's watching right now, and I know it's Thursday, everybody who's watching and in CenterPoint and in surrounding areas, you're watching, you're learning this information about your mayor. So you know at this point, at the potlucks you might have around the holidays, do not include beets in the menu.
It will not be on the menu. No beets. Save your money.
Don't do it. Don't even bring any beet red clothes around. Don't bring anything that's gonna remind me of it. So here you are, man. Here you are, Mayor Scott. You're growing up, college, everything, time's passing. Time waits for no one. You begin on a farm. And I want people to understand this. You began on a farm. Your upbringing, so different than so many people around you. And your upbringing is so different. Your way of thinking had to be different. It can't be, "Well, I'm going to wake up and go ride my bike. I'm going to go walk. You know, I got chores to do. I got to go feed these cows. I got things to do." So time passes, as it does with everybody and everything. And you begin to pursue a career that may have been different than those who you grew up with, those around you. Everywhere you looked around you, somebody had a farm. They had this. They was growing this. And you began to say you got interested in technology. So you began to pursue a career that was a little bit different than those around you, friends, schoolmates, all those things. And now you have a degree in computer information systems.
Right.
That is a cry far different from where you began. And I'm beginning to see a common pattern here, Mayor Scott. Uh-huh. So I'm beginning to see these wide gaps of differences from where you started to where you are. You grew up on a farm. You have this degree in computer information systems. I see this huge leap of differences of things in your life. You work for Fortune 500 companies, and it requires, and for people that's listening and watching, I understand this, to go from where you start, no matter where that start is, to go from where you start to where you are now and what you're doing now and what your career is now, it takes a lot to go from where you start. And let me just say this to whoever's watching, who's ever listening, your start place does not have to be your destination. It does not have to be your end. It requires a lot of individual discipline, personal development to make a leap like that. A huge leap. So I got to know this, Mayor Scott. What are some of the driving factors that keep you focused and helped you to make such a pivotal individual leap such as that? Because those are wide gaps.
Right, right. So that's a good question because, you know, it kind of just happens to you based on the footsteps that God lays out for you. So I always tell people that, you know, God laid out the footsteps for me and I'm just following the path that he led me into. I've always been sort of a nerd in school, you know, that kid in school that was smaller than everybody else, but also very, very smart. All my teachers liked me. So I had a lot of support, you know, coming up and really the belief that you could do anything you wanted to do. I never felt like I was nailed down to being a farmer. My dad, you know, gave me the tools that I needed, that if that was the path that I chose, I could definitely step into his footsteps and continue. But somewhere along the lines, you know, and pretty sure my uncle, I had aspirations to go to college. So I applied to schools and I made a decent score on the ACT. So I was able to get into some schools. I picked UAB. I was going to South Carolina because my brother was in the military and I wanted to go stay with him. At the last minute, Mayor Kincaid, which is also a great story, had a program called HCOP, which is Health Careers Occupational Program. And he came to rural areas in West Alabama, recruited high school students that showed that potential to be health career minded, so that one day they could come back and be a health occupation or health official in their city. So in rural Alabama, you don't have a whole lot of hospital, a whole lot of doctors. So their goal was to kind of recruit people to become doctors and come back to where they grew up. So I entered that program. Dr. Kincaid, who was over the School of Nursing at UAB at the time, was our mentor, took care of us for 2 or 3 weeks while we were up here at UAB. And during that process told us, if anybody wants to go to UAB, just let me know. And I changed my mind like 2 or 3 days later and said, yeah, I want to be up here. So I owe him a huge thank you for opening that door. And even then, you know, when he became mayor, I would always go, that was my mentor at UAB. You know, that's Dr. Kincaid. Still at no point thought I would be a mayor. You know, so it still wasn't at that train of thought. So yeah, after a couple of years at UAB, again, that technology piece just kind of just started clicking away. Medical technology and computers were such a interest to me. Even when I was in high school, my mom would always say, what do I need a computer for? And I couldn't really tell her what she would need it for, but I know what I needed it for. But I had for me. So, you know, that little piece still was just knocking at the door. And I stepped into it and I enjoyed it. You know, 17 years writing bank software. And which is, you know, you think of video gaming when you think of computer programming, different things. We have apps on our phone. Well, apps on phones weren't a thing then. So I got a job doing computer programming. That's writing bank software for our various institutions around the country. And yeah, I enjoyed it for a really, really long time. But then it gets kind of monotonous because you can't play with bank software. You can't put tricks and games in bank software. It has to be how the government lays it out. So after about 17 years, I was like, okay, I'm a little bit weary of this, you know, and that was right around the time I decided to run for city council.
And you're right. Here it is. Your mentor became a mayor. Mm-hmm. And how strange that your mentor became what the same thing that you are.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, no plans. That's I still am puzzled by that to this day. When I think back on it, how he was in the medical career and ended up being Birmingham's mayor way before I finished school and I was working. He was the mayor of Birmingham, and you know, there I am some decade later, a mayor, you know, kind of following in his footsteps. But
it sounds like Dr. Kincaid imparted in you more than just some skills about going to UAB and different things. It sounds like you picked up a lot of different things from Dr. Kincaid that helped you personally and career-wise that remained with you. And I could tell they're probably still remaining with you today. You're probably reflecting on a lot of those moments that Dr. Kincaid said and the time that you spent with him. Like most people do when they mentor us, you know, we reflect on those moments. And what that brings out a point, I want to bring out a point to everybody. You know, we're talking about we the people. And Mayor Scott, where you are now, I heard you say, yeah, he mentored me. I had a mentor. Let me help everybody out there who's listening. There are places that we want to go that we cannot make it on our own. We cannot make it by ourselves. If you are a person who's, I'm gung-ho, I could do it all by myself, you're going to need someone to open a door for you. You're going to need a mentor. Right. You're going to need to connect, have a relationship with somebody. Because listen to what Mayor Scott said where he started. I began on a farm feeding chickens and cows. And the door that was open for him allowed him to go differently, to have a different path. Where you are right now may not look.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you. Even if your needs are unique, get more with Geico.
Very nice. It may not be very pretty. It may not be what you designed it for your life. And listen, Mayor Scott was born there. So he was born into that situation. He didn't ask for it. He didn't tell nobody, put me on a farm. That's where he was. Where you are right now may be something that you didn't even ask for to be in your life. You may not even ask for the situation that you're working with through right now. But if you can't figure it out yourself, find out those who already have. If you can't figure it out, find someone who already has. Now, we began this show, Mayor Scott, with part of the preamble. And for those who may not be completely familiar with it, or you forgot it from, you know, from high school, middle school. I know.
That's great.
That's great, man. I know, man.
That's great. That's where I learned it.
And I'm going to be honest with you. For those who aren't living in the United States, I learned it in the fifth grade. My first time of hearing was the fourth grade. And I learned it from those cartoons called Schoolhouse Rock that used to come on every Saturday morning. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not finna sing. You're not gonna get me doing all that. I'm staying in my lane, Mayor Scott. we began the show with part of the preamble, and for those who may not be completely familiar with the preamble, part of it states to promote the general welfare. The general welfare. Now, this means that what you do as a leader and as a mayor impacts those in your city for the common good, the common good. So as a mayor, you have to make a lot of decisions. You have to make a lot of decisions. Some are popular, some aren't popular, but they have to be for the common good. You have a lot of things on your plate, a lot of things that you have to do that sometimes everyone may not understand it at the moment, but you understand it has to be for the common good. When you have a city council meetings, you have to understand, God, this is for the common good. What are some core beliefs? Some core things that you believe and things that you do as a mayor that ensures that the common good and not necessarily the popular good remains your focus for those that you serve?
Well, number one, you know, and I think this is just not just from the mayor perspective, but from a human human being perspective, is do no harm to no other people. Don't cause anybody else harm. And that's something that, whether I was a mayor, a software engineer, whatever the case may be, that is something I grew up with, you know, is to make sure that everybody is as safe as possible. Second, you know, our goal, I feel like our goal as elected officials is to take care of the people. And I know a lot of time people try to see cities as revenue generators or restrictors of what you want to do in your life. I feel like as elected officials, our goals are to take care of the people we serve. And everybody has a different need. So, you know, I've learned very quickly that you're not going to be able to please everybody. You know, I think when you get elected, it's immediately people against the government. And that's how people see it. So, you know, no matter how many supporters you had at first, as soon as you are elected, some people are automatically going to be against you just because you're government. And that's not the case. I try to reach out and listen to everybody, even if it's not something I want to hear. Or the only rule I have is don't yell at me. We could talk. We could sit and talk all day. I have long patience. So we can sit and talk, and we may not be able to agree. I'm going to do what I can to help you in your situation. But at the end of the day, you can't please Correct. Everybody. And I hate that people feel like just because you are an elected official or you are some part of government that you are automatically against what the people need. And that's never been
Absolutely.
The case for me.
Absolutely. I think when a person is in a role like yours, in a position like yours, and even in leadership, mm-hmm. It's an automatic, or I would say an instant. It's an instant expectation that you will know every answer to every problem that I have.
Exactly. Like, wait a minute, exactly.
How am I supposed to just instantly have the answers to all of your problems? I just met you.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't know the whole dynamics of your problem, and if I hear them, doesn't necessarily mean I instantly have instant access to every answer. It's almost as if develop this instant belief that leaders are hiding information from them and hiding answers. I'm not hiding nothing.
Right.
If I can answer your problem, you're going to get that answer one, you're happy. Two, it serves the common good. Three, you're not asking me that same question again. You're going on with your life.
It's a lot of time it's about, you know, maintaining your peace. You know, so if I don't feel a need, I need to lie to every person, because then I have to remember what lie. And I'd rather just tell you the truth and be done with that, and let's move on to something else. So yeah, I don't like trying to keep up with what I told this person then, because I'm gonna tell everybody the honest answer. So the answer is going to be the same when you ask this person, and then you go around and ask the other person. Yeah, he told me the same thing. So, you know, it's just easier that way. And being the mayor for me, it's an all day, sometimes on the weekend, sometimes at 10:30 at night, sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's just easier that way to maintain my peace of mind and you know, do the job.
Absolutely. Because again, that way you don't have to go back and backtrack from any story. Just being 100 with the people. And again, all this does is for the common good, not the popular good. We will never, and for all those who want to be in leadership one day, whether it's on your job, in your career, in your family, whatever it is you want to lead, you always have to make decisions that are for the common good. And I know there's people right now, Center Point, this is Thursday, that you're listening, but for the common good. Now, I got to say this, man. Mayor Scott, you absolutely blow my mind. I love sitting down and talking with you. And you're just so and I'm not trying to demean your office, but you just seem like just a regular, wonderful guy to talk to, Mayor Scott. You really do.
Yeah.
So the preamble, we talked about that earlier, we the people. The preamble begins with the words, we the People. The name of this episode that we're talking about is We the People. We the People. It begins kind of with those in public office speaking for and acknowledging that they are the voice of the people that they serve and that the people are heard. So it's kind of say, hey, look, we're speaking for you and we are ensuring that you are heard. You, whoever that you might be, that you might look different than me, that you may speak differently than I am, that you may have a different background, may a different culture, but whoever that you is that I serve, my job is to make sure that you are heard. What are some plans, if you can share any, if you can talk about any, you don't have to go into depths of any, but what are some plans that you are maybe currently working on in your administration or future plans that you may be working on that can reassure those who you serve that you hear their different voices, no matter the individual?
Right. My personal vision for CenterPoint is creating community, building community. Like I said, I grew up in the country and everybody knew each other. So if I needed whatever, my mom needed some, go to sister so-and-so house and go to so-and-so house and pick this up for me. You know, my dad would put me on a tractor and I had to drive up the road to cut my grandma's backyard and drive the tractor back down the highway. So that community is a good thing. I grew up in it. I'm aware of how effective that can be when you have a group of people that work together that see the same vision that you see. So that, for me personally, that's my goal for CenterPoint. Now, there's a lot of other things that come with the job as far as road pavings. You know, everybody wants their road paved. Nobody wants to tear up their car, leaving the community or vice versa. Access to parks, recreational facilities, people that have kids, they want to go play, their kids. You know, I had and part of the reason I'm here now is due to my 7-year-old who's 18 now. He's a senior in high school.
Congratulations.
About to graduate. Great kid. Thank you. Great kid. Got his college choices down to UAB in Alabama. Wow. So whatever he picks is fine with me. But creating those opportunities so that when he gets older and has kids and he can say, hey, I played at this park. I grew up in this city. This is where I was raised and it's still here and in a good enough, you know, operating fashion that he can buy a house here. He can live in the house that we have and, you know, continue that community and different things like that. So that's by far the biggest goal I have, but also creating those things that make life a little bit easier for everybody else, you know, and safety is always a priority in any community. Things are a little bit crazy right now
everywhere.
All over the country. Everywhere. And so constantly trying to figure out how do we, you know, fix this and still not send the city into any kind of financial issues and, you know, different things like that. There's always a plan. You have to plan down the road. You just can't pop in and go, this is what I want to do and spend all the money. And then 10 years down the road, the city is in, you know, such a bad shape that we can't do anything. So I know a lot of people advocate for this and that and this and that and this and that. But I spent many long nights thinking, how are we going to do this? You know, what's the next plan for this? Where can we get funding for this? So, you know, it's one of those jobs you kind of have to, I don't see myself being mayor forever. You know, some people want to get in the seat and stay 20, 30, 40 years. I don't see myself doing that. I want to be able to move on and know that CenterPoint is better than when I found it and continues to grow.
I like that, Mayor, because what it says, what I hear you saying is vision. What I hear is the word, the centerpiece around it. I see the word vision, and everything you just said encompasses that, kind of like a circle. You have to have a vision for what you're doing. You have to have a vision for whatever it is you're striving to do in life. And what I'm hearing is you're laying out your vision. You know, people say, well, why don't we have this? Why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? Well, that's perfect. If we got the money to do it, let's do it. But 5 years from now, how will that look? 10 years from now, will that drain us 10 years from now? 10 years from now, will that impact the city in such a way that we will regret that 10-year decision we made earlier? And if because once we make that decision, we can't go back 10 years from now.
Yeah, once you spend the money, they're not going to give it back to you. So Poly Reed Road is a prime example. That project started 14 years ago. And the goal was to pave it and cover the ditches. Yep. A lot of people at night
can't see.
So, you know, our previous administration came up with the plan. Let's pave that road. Let's cover the ditches. Let's put sidewalks. Awesome. Let's create access to our Reed Harvey Park, which is right down the road.
My grandson loves that park. That's the park that we go to.
He loves that. Right. Amazing park. We got the splash pad out there. But that project finally came to fruition in 2020, 2021, where it was bid out. And so we finally got started with the construction. You know, and hopefully this spring we have something tangible to allow people to, you know, use that access. But, you know, it went from 1.4 million to start to when it finally bid out, it was at almost $15 million. So, you know, unfortunately, the city didn't have to incur the inflation part of that cost. But a lot of projects can end up like that, where you start off with a number, and then once you add in the maintenance and the employees and the gas and everything, and nothing's going down. Everything is going up.
No prices are dropping.
Prices are not dropping. Yeah, I spent 35 cents per egg on a sandwich this morning. So nothing's getting cheaper. So you have to keep that in mind when you plan out extremely large projects that, hey, you know, our budget that we're going to spend has to be able to absorb this cost
because
down the road.
Once it's spent, you know, it's spent. They're not getting it. You're not getting that money back. And again, it goes back to what we're saying earlier, Mayor Scott. Once there's a leader in charge, once it's a designated leader in charge, whether it be political official or on your job, whoever it might be, that leader might be, this is this instant expectation all placed on that leader that you got every answer to every problem. My God, I know you know the answer to it. I know you just won't tell me. You think I would have an answer to fix what you need and not tell you just so you can keep coming back to me?
Exactly. No, if I got the answer, we can get this out of the way. We can get this off of my plate. Because nothing like the prices don't go down. Nothing stops being added to your plate as a mayor. It just keeps coming in. If I take three things off today, there's
gonna come
tomorrow.
I promise you. No, wait. 10 minutes later. 10 minutes later, you got four more things. A text message later, you got four more things. One more email, you got four more things. And
yeah, if you notice, I glanced off to the side for a second. That was one of those things coming in. They was knocking on the door.
Wait,
like,
there it is. So you have a lot on your plate that you have to do. People go into public service and politics for various reasons. You know, we can sit here all day trying to name them. But it's really refreshing to see, Mayor Scott, that this truly is a passion for you. You didn't chase it down. You didn't say, well, I'm just gonna wake up, I'm gonna be the mayor of some town. You didn't chase it down. You said, like, look, man, I'm gonna do what I have to do. I'm gonna leave Center Point in a better position than I started. I'm not gonna be this career politician here in Center Point and just sit roots here and just retire from life here. You said, I'm gonna set a good vision for Center Point. When I'm ready to leave, I'm gonna leave it into some capable hands and walk away from it. But this truly is, you're serving a serving of passion. And it's very, very refreshing to see a leader to have the passion that you have for your community, that you do that. But this is, like I said, not just a job for you, it is your passion. In which ways do some of your early childhood lessons that we discussed, because I could see that those lessons are in you. I could see they're still in you. We were talking before the show started. I said, Mayor Scott, you know, you can grab your cup of coffee. He said, no, I got my sweet tea. Man, if that's not the most Alabama thing to have, see that? If you're not from the South, sweet tea is an everyday, all day drink. I'm sorry. It is.
Right. All day.
So this is a passion for you. So in which ways do some of your early childhood lessons help center you when facing moments of pushback, obstacles, and help keep the flames of this passion burning so brightly for you?
I just really have to give credit to my parents, you know, my mom and dad. I'm a junior, and I actually changed my name in first grade. My original birth given name was Derek Devon Thornton. And I started in kindergarten. They registered me as Bobby Scott, which is my dad's name, which is the name that I grew up hearing. So, but on my birth certificate, my mom put Derek because that was the name she wanted to give me. But everybody called me Little Bobby. You know, growing up, I was always with my dad. They called me Little Bobby. So that was the name I took for myself. So in kindergarten, even my teacher called me Bobby. After first grade, you had to officially register with the Board of Education. And Derek was the name on my birth certificate. And Derek was the name that the teacher knew. And she tried to make me spell it out on the paper. And I don't even know how to spell that. So I'm named after my dad. So I went home that night and I told my mom, I want my name changed to be my dad's name. So she changed it for me, Bobby Scott Jr. And I have to thank those two for laying the groundwork. You know, there were five of us. I have two older brothers, two younger sisters. And, you know, I can't complain about my childhood. They provided, they taught, my dad taught the lessons that I needed to know. My mom was a very compassionate, funny person who ended up being a home mom. She used to work, you know, go to work, and we had, my brother would babysit, but she just eventually got tired of working, and my dad said, you can stay at home, and she stayed at home with us, and it was always just easy coming home and knowing she would be there with some a meal or whatever the case. So, and then, you know, having constant people coming to the house. There was never somebody comes in, let me fix you something to eat. You know, just that country, everybody's the hospitality, the compassion. Right. I brought that with me. I can't get rid of it at this point. It's who I am. So, I just try to be, I'm a regular guy. So I try to let, and people, I think, pick up on that once you start talking to them that, he'd rather hang over here than hang out with the officials over here. He hangs out with the people that are serving the drinks over here because just that commonality, that we have. So I appreciate everything that they've done. And a lot of those lessons are how I continue to serve. You know, I don't like being called a politician. It kind of has a negative connotation.
Don't say that, please.
Yeah, I'm not a politician. I don't like the bias and all the different things that come with being able to help, you know, your people. I'm a public servant. And that's how I like people to see it.
And it's apparent, Mayor Scott, that you really love community and you really love being around people and interacting with those that you serve. It's because you don't have this standoffish kind of aura about you. You really, hey guys, when we were at the parade talking, I mean, here is this mayor of CenterPoint, and we're sitting there talking, jaw-jacking, taking selfies. I mean, he's doing his thing, and like, that's the mayor. He's just like everybody else. Like, wow, this is incredible. That's pretty cool. Mayor Scott, I like to ask this of all of my guests, a question of all of my guests when they come on the show. Each of my guests. So let's say there is a young, not Derek, but a young Bobby. You know I had to say that.
Look, now I can't use my extra identity anywhere now. So.
Oh, man. Let's say there's a young Bobby Scott out there listening, okay? And whether it is a male or a female, it doesn't matter. What would you say to a young person out there who may be interested in serving, maybe on their city council, on a student board at school, and he was wondering about it? What would you say to someone who's interested, who's coming from very modest beginnings, at your practical beginnings as yourself? What would you say to someone who out there who may be interested in politics or taking a leadership role, who's serving on the city council? What would you say to encourage them to just get involved?
I would definitely tell them to do it. You know, leadership has its ups and downs. I think the sooner you start, the better. That way you're acclimated to all the different personalities you'll come in contact with. The people that don't like you, the people that do like you. At the end of the day, it makes the resolve of that a little bit easier to handle once you are able to accept that not everybody's going to like you. But by all means, step into it. This country, this city, this state is going to need somebody to step in and take over. If you look at the politics or the demographics of Alabama's politics, everybody's almost 65, 70, 80. So there has to be somebody that's prepared to come in and actually understand the law and know how to use that law to effectively serve the people.
Absolutely.
So the earlier absolutely. The better.
Yeah. Guys, I want to show you something real quick for I'm going to keep holding you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to show you guys something. This right here is CenterPoint's website. This is the website for CenterPoint, Alabama, right there. So if you ever wanted to know, well, gee, where could I go? I guess I need to share it first, huh? There you go. here it is. CenterPoint, Alabama, that is their website right there. It is also on your screen right there. And if you're not looking, it is cityofcenterpoint.org. That's cityofcenterpoint.org. A lot of good stuff on here, guys. City government, you can see the city council. You can see all the agendas and the meetings from the meetings, planning and zoning board, people like that, employment, finance, holiday closures, ordinances. Look at all these different departments. One thing I saw up here that I thought was pretty cool, the economic development for different places, for different businesses. They also have a lot of great things happening for businesses here. So this is actually pretty cool, guys, that you can come here and find some things all about the city of CenterPoint. So that's actually pretty cool. They even have a welcome to the CenterPoint new business recruitment incentive program. I thought that was pretty cool when I read about that. So you can please read about that. Go on their website, which is cityofcenterpoint.org. Mr. Mayor Scott, I'm going to get ready to let you out of here. Give me 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on our show. Let me get you out of here real quick. Okay. Give me one moment. Guys, listen. It's been a wonderful time. It's been a real blast speaking with Mayor Bobby Scott Jr. Guys, listen, we all have a dream. And whether it's creating the next technological advancement or creating a new process that makes our lives a little bit easier, or maybe it's serving families in need. Whatever the dream is, where you start does not have to be where you end. And where you start does not have to be your defining moment. Commit to yourself and to those around you, and you might find yourself leading in places you never thought of. Guys, it's about that time. And as always, it's been a real blast. Don't forget to tune in right here each week, every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show. Or you can stream in on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and so many more. Guys, I got to get out of here. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go.